The following program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Family Face Ministries.
My name is Dino, and this episode today is dedicated to my lovely wife of 33 years, Jody Masella. As many of you know, on July 17th of this year, Jody transitioned to heaven and is in the presence of Jesus, and she was my wife of 33 years, my ministry partner, my best friend, and so Jody, I dedicate this episode to you. And today, our topic is one of the most central and essential elements, I would say, of the Christian life, but it's also one of the most difficult, and that topic is forgiveness. I believe our talk today is going to be transformational for marriages, and what you hear will even help you in other relationships, because people struggle with forgiving one another, let's face it, and one of the biggest stumbling blocks to forgiving other people is the feeling that, you know, whoever wronged you needs to express remorse or repentance before it's even possible, right? That what they did was just wrong and maybe even brutal, and they need to admit it and ask for my forgiveness before I can even give them forgiveness. I mean, it sounds logical. It sounds fair, right? But waiting for that is called unforgiveness. And spiritually speaking, unforgiveness is downright dangerous. It'll make your spirit weak. It'll make your prayers ineffective. Unforgiveness will pretty much just pull the plug on your faith so completely that you won't have enough power to move the molehills in your life, much less the mountains. Jesus concluded one of his most powerful teachings on faith with these words: "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." That's from Mark chapter 11, verse 25. So we're going to learn how to do that and forgive by faith, not by feelings, the same way you'd receive healing or anything else, by faith. Now let's go to the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it tells us that we're to forgive others just as God, through Christ, has forgiven us. And we all know that we're supposed to forgive others when they do us wrong, right? We want to help you understand, as God helped us understand, how you can forgive others in the face of unspeakable hurt and pain. And maybe, you know, you're on one end of the spectrum, and you're one of those folks that have had terrible, atrocious things done to you by someone else, by people you trusted. So you're thinking that, you know, Dino, if you really knew my situation, you might talk to me about a different message. Or, you know, maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. You know, some of you've led pretty protected, blessed lives. So you might be thinking, wow, this is going to be a real good message for someone else. You know, I'm doing good. I can't think of anything I'm mad at right now. But if you reach down in your heart, there may be some things God wants to teach you. Not just how to forgive in catastrophic circumstances, but, you know, how to walk in forgiveness, in his grace, and his mercy in our everyday lives. There's very few things that are as difficult to handle as when someone does us wrong. And when it happens, most of us find ourselves strangely unprepared, I would say. So what do you do? It starts off like this. You know, someone does you wrong. There's no way around it. Nothing you can do about it. You're the victim. So how should you respond? Well, some people say you're supposed to just forgive and forget. And sure, that's easy to say, but is that even the right way to respond? What does the Bible say? Do Christians have a right to retaliate? It happens every time when we get hurt by someone. Our immediate and automatic response can be revenge, resentment. We may want to hold on to that pain of offense. But what are you trying to prove, and how much more damage are you doing to yourself through holding on to the offense? Well, there's got to be a better technique, and I'm here to tell you there is. And right now, I'm going to tell you the easiest way to get even with someone. So let's read a couple more Bible verses here. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 12. And starting in verse 17, it says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, first of all, notice how Paul doesn't minimize the nature of the evil that's been done. Right? Look at verse 17. He calls it what it is, so we don't have to sit here and pretend like things that offended us and the things that hurt us really weren't that bad. We're not minimizing the offense. Please understand that. But we don't want you to just brush over it. You can acknowledge it. It's real. But notice how he goes on. He doesn't make his argument on the basis of what's right. He doesn't say forgive because it's the right thing. He says forgive because it's smarter, right? Forgive because you love Jesus, yeah, but forgive because it's a better technique. And this just goes against the way most people react. But Paul says change your strategy. Change this game around. Stop getting played right into the hands of the devil. The Bible doesn't say lay there and let evil win the day. It says overcome evil with good. That's really cool. Doesn't say accept evil. It says overcome evil with good. It says use the more effective way. Change your strategy. You know, We're coming up to the Super Bowl, and it's like if you were playing in the Super Bowl, and you're Peyton Manning, and if the Panthers start blitzing and you keep holding the ball for a long pass, you get to realize there's a better way. If they're going to blitz, you run a screen or a sweep, and you get rid of that ball quickly and take advantage of the hole left behind by the blitz. Don't just sit there and go long, long, long when they're blitzing, blitzing, blitzing. You've got to change your strategy. So let's change our strategy. And to do that, let's start out by defining what forgiveness is. So we want to correctly define for you. And sometimes when we're trying to understand what something is, it's good to talk a little bit about what it's not, right? To clear up some misconceptions about it. So I'm going to start with that. with what forgiveness isn't. And maybe all along you've thought that forgiveness is some demonstration of weakness, but let me underline this for you. Forgiveness is not weakness. It's not being a doormat for people to walk all over you. If that were the case, then Jesus would have been the greatest doormat of all. But no, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, and obedience to his word to forgive. It's being strong enough to be Christ-like, and it actually puts you in the position of power. Some other misconceptions of when the word forgiveness is mentioned is some people think that forgiveness is the equivalent of excusing sin and saying that what was wrong is now right, but that's not true. Forgiveness is not excusing unjust behavior. Think about the example of forgiveness that Jesus displayed when he encountered the mob of men ready to stone the woman caught in adultery. He chose not to stone her. However, he didn't excuse her either. Instead, he said, "Go and sin no more." Next, forgiveness is not forgetting. So don't beat yourself up because you struggle to forget some of the bad things that have been done to you. Forgiveness is not circumventing God's justice. It is actually allowing God to execute his justice in his time and in his way. In other words, it's not letting the guilty off the hook. It's moving the guilty from your hook to God's hook, okay? And also, forgiveness is not a natural response. It, quite honestly, it's a supernatural response, and it's powered by God and his Holy Spirit. And lastly, forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a choice. It's an act of the will. It doesn't matter if you've been abused, deserted, falsely accused, mistreated. It doesn't matter. We always have to choose to forgive. It's a choice. And we have to determine to walk in forgiveness. We can't wait for our feelings to change first. It has to be an act of the will based on faith rather than a feeling. Good. Now that we've cleared up those misconceptions, let's switch over to what forgiveness is. In both Hebrew and Greek, the language of the Old and New Testaments, the words used for forgiveness means to pardon or to release from bondage. It's like dismissing a debt. When you grant forgiveness, you dismiss the debt someone owes to you. On the other hand, when you receive forgiveness, your debt's dismissed. You're released from any requirement for repayment. It's like saying, "You don't owe me anything." If it's a financial debt, they don't owe you any money. If it's an offense, they don't owe you an apology. Forgiveness is dismissing your demand that others owe you something, especially when they fail to meet your expectations, fail to keep a promise, fail to treat you justly. So, just how does someone forgive others? Well, let's go back to the Word of God. Let's look at some more verses in the Bible. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, and it says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." So, take a look at how Jesus forgives. In Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35, Peter asked Jesus the question, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus responded with the parable of the unmerciful servant. The servant in Jesus' story owed a sum of money that seemed impossible to repay, However, when he simply begged for the time to repay, his master responded with overwhelming compassion, simply forgave the servant of his entire debt. Pretty amazing. And we've all got a debt that we couldn't pay, and Jesus did the same for us, right? He's forgiven us. So how is it that we can receive such a bold mercy and then turn around and not extend it to those around us? Think about that. The forgiven forgive. That is the basis of forgiveness in Christ. Let me say that again. I'm going to inch a little closer to the microphone here. The forgiven forgive. Let that sink in. And also, when you look at this story, it was almost like Peter was expecting Jesus to somehow quantify the level of forgiveness. And Jesus says, well, I didn't come to raise the standard of how many times you forgive. I came to change the system of forgiveness altogether. Right? This isn't a higher standard. This is a new system. It's a new way of living. It isn't just try a little harder, forgive a little more, just let it all go. It's an entirely different way of doing life. This is taking power away from the perpetrator and saying, I'm leaving it at the foot of the cross where it belongs. And he tells Peter, there's no limit to this forgiveness. No limit to how many times I can heal your broken heart when you're hurt. No limit to how I can set you free. No matter how bad someone's hurt you, no matter how bad is the offense, there's no limit to the creative capability of our God to create a new heart inside of us and give us the propensity to forgive no matter how bad you've been hurt. I think the reason a lot of people hold on to offenses is that they really don't understand that forgiveness doesn't start with the other person. It starts with you and Jesus. Forgiveness is far more about your response to the gospel than it is about the repentance of the person who hurt you. It's about believing that the cross of Jesus Christ is a sufficient payment, and not only for everything you've done, but also for everything that's been done to you. When I thought about that, I kind of stopped for a second, went, wow. Also for everything that's been done to you. Did you get that? It's about believing the fact that there is no exception. Jesus loves and died for the person who hurt you just as much as he loves and died for you. Repentance isn't the necessary prerequisite to forgiveness. Refusing to forgive someone until they ask for it is like refusing to breathe to prove a point, right? Kind of silly. It's only going to harm you in the end. So if you sometimes struggle with forgiving others, understand that your awareness of how much God loves you and continually forgives you can be the catalyst to compel you to forgive others. All right, so I'm going to give everyone some tips here on how to forgive. And I'm actually going to use the word forgive and give you a tip with each letter. So let's start off with the first letter, letter F. And the first thing you do is forbid. Forbid recurring thoughts of the wrongs done to you to enter your mind. Stop them as soon as you think them, right? If ever there comes a time when those thoughts of unforgiveness rise up within you, just say by faith, nope, I forgive that person, I bless them, I refuse to focus on those thoughts, and keep on forgiving. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll find that forgiveness becomes the normal lifestyle of an overcoming Christian. All right. Kind of related to that one, the next letter, O, overcome. overcome the temptation to bring up the matter again, right? Don't bring it up with that other person. Just overcome that temptation. The next letter, R, repeat. Repeat what, Dino? Well, repeat scripture in your mind and allow God's perspective to change your perspective so you can say things like, love covers this wrong. Lord, may I be an expression of love. I reflect your love, God. So if you're struggling to forgive someone, begin, you know, reading scriptures out loud. Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. How about Mark 11:25? But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. How about the other one we talked about? Matthew 18. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. And there's just pretty much endless scriptures you could read to remind yourself and to allow God's perspective to change your perspective. The next letter, G, give. Okay? Give the situation to God. Trust him to handle it. Jesus understands how much you've been wronged. The next letter, I, intercede. Intercede on behalf of the person who did you wrong. Jesus told us, right? He told us to pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us. So there you go. Next letter, V. What do you think this one is? Value. Here's an interesting one. Value what you can give rather than what you can receive. What can you bring to the situation to help heal it, to heal that relationship? Instead of waiting for someone to apologize to you. And then lastly, the letter E, extend. We need to extend grace and extend mercy. Forgiveness is a direct expression of both God's grace and God's mercy. So there you have it. Some practical tips on how to forgive. And I hope you enjoyed this. And if you did, join us and start a family revolution in your household. And click the like button, subscribe to our podcast, share it with others. And again, this is Dino in the Revolutionary Family with Family Faith Ministries. Thanks for joining us.
At Family Face Ministries, our mission is to restore the face of the family. That means equipping families with the teaching and the tools that they need to succeed. You can support that mission with either a one-time gift or by becoming a recurring monthly partner. Your gift today will help keep families together. To give, visit familyfaceministries.org/give or call us at 877-336-6540.